for your testimony and for your brief career as a missionary. Wow. That's quite a testimony. 1975. Next year will make it their 50th year in Brazil. That's quite a testimony. Some of us haven't been married that long. How long have you two been married? 55 years. Well, congratulations on your ministry and your faithfulness and your ministry in Brazil, lo, these many years. And it's delightful to have you there using one of our vans, I believe. I believe that's the occasion for bringing them here tonight. And so it's a blessing to hear from them. Thank you for that and for your faithful ministry. Over the last number of weeks, we have been looking at the companions of the Apostle Paul. And there are nearly three dozen named individuals that intersect with the life of the Apostle Paul. So far, we've looked at Barnabas, Paul's mentor, who took Paul to the apostles and advocated for him. We looked at Timothy, Paul's mentee, whom he trained to carry on his work. We looked at Silas, Paul's co-worker, who joined his second and third missionary journeys after a brief disagreement with Barnabas over John Mark. Thankfully, Barnabas was able to reclaim Mark for the work of the ministry. We looked last week at Luke, who is Paul's historian. He's the record keeper of the Pauline journey. In fact, he wrote the gospel which bears his name and the book of Acts, but neither the gospel doesn't at all use his name. And so we looked last week at Luke and saw his importance to Paul, and what we see is how he is with Paul sometimes and not with Paul at other times in these we passages in the book of Acts. And then we find out his name in the epistles. Five of the most significant individuals in the life of the Lord, in the life of Paul. But there are nearly three dozen altogether. Now, I jokingly said the first Wednesday night I took one of these that for the next 36 weeks we would be looking at these. And actually, tonight is the last night, unless the pastor asked me to do a couple more. But tonight is the last night for a while. Not that we have exhausted a study of all of these individuals. You may or may not remember several years ago, out of this series, which I began to do when I was filling the pulpit at Liberty when Don Odin stepped into retirement, I'm the kind of a guy that just likes to know where I'm going in preaching. I like to preach series. I don't like to have to figure out each week what I should preach on from week to week. Now, it's been a little bit like that because I've had to pick and choose from this list of names, but I think you will agree I have picked up to this point the more important, the more significant names. Now, tonight, we're going to look at two individuals. We are whittling our way down in terms of the number of times these people are mentioned in the New Testament. Barnabas is mentioned the most, and then Timothy. Now, Timothy, obviously, because the books bear his name, it shouldn't surprise us. And then Silas, and then Luke. And tonight, this is our fifth session, I want to look at two fellows, Tychicus and Aristarchus. Say, who in the world are they? Well, they each occur in the Pauline literature, or in the record of the New Testament, five times. Each of them are mentioned by name five times, between references in the book of Acts, where Luke records their intersection with Paul, and references in the epistles. They're each mentioned five times. And I've titled this message, Tychicus and Aristarchus, the emissaries of the Apostle Paul. Now, think back with me to the old days. You know, back when we used, back before Facebook and the internet and cell phones, back when we used rotary dial phones and party lines. How many of you remember, how many of you had a party line at one point or another? Oh man, I'm on the phone! Like, get up and stop listening. But we're talking about even back before Dave Anderson was around. Dave was around in the early days of party lines, but we're talking about even before that. How did people communicate? Well, they either communicated in person, or they communicated by a letter, an epistle. But in both cases, for the message to be received, a person had to carry the message and deliver it in person. Now today, yesterday, Bob Jones University just picked its sixth president, just named its sixth president. And I was able to sit in the comfort of my easy chair and listen to the presidential announcement. Even though it took place in South Carolina, I was able to listen to it in Plymouth, Minnesota because of modern technology. How simple it is to communicate with people today, and how difficult it was to communicate in another day. We, at least most of us, grew up in the era of typewriters and telephones, even if we did have to use a party line phone. I remember when I first went to Canada, not quite in 75, I was in my second year of Bible school in 75, but I remember when I first went to Canada, some of my phone bills were hundreds of dollars a month. And now I can call all over the place with my cell phone. It's just amazing how different things are today. I can talk to my son in Africa for free. WhatsApp and FaceTime and a dozen other technologies, we can communicate very easily and very conveniently. But in Paul's day, that just wasn't the option. So when Paul visited a particular place, if he wanted to maintain a relationship with the church in that place, he could either go there himself, which meant travel, or he could send an emissary. And that's what Tychicus and Aristarchus were to the Apostle Paul. They were Pauline companions whom Paul dispatched to places that he had been to carry. You know, people wanted to know, I wonder what Paul would do in this case. And they would come up with questions and they would send questions to Paul. Paul, what would you do if? And Paul would write back. And this is how we got some of the Pauline epistles. They were answers to questions. Corinthians, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. That's not a statement that Paul is making sort of as a general rule, but it's an answer to a question. Paul's epistles oftentimes are a response, or as in the case of Colossians, it was a circular letter so that Paul could keep on his teaching ministry with churches. And in fact, the church at Laodicea was one of the recipients of Paul's letter to the Colossians. Look with me, if you will, please, tonight for our Bible reading to Colossians chapter 4. I've read this text in relationship to these individuals who appear in Paul's journey. But Colossians chapter 4 is one place that lists a bunch of these people as a collective. Verse 7, Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant. Now that about sums up all I need to know about Tychicus. He's a beloved brother. He's a believer. He's a faithful minister. He's some kind of a preacher. He's not simply traveling with Paul to see what Paul is doing, but he's actually working with Paul in the ministry. And he's a fellow servant of the Lord. This guy does what he does for God. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. What are the two reasons that Paul dispatches Tychicus to the church at Colossae? That he may know how you are. Why does he want to know that? So that you may know how we are. Evidently, they were concerned about how Paul was getting along. Now remember, Paul is not the most popular guy in town. And his churches were concerned about Paul's welfare and safety. And one of the jobs that Tychicus had was bringing news about Paul to the church, that he may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. Paul knew that the believers at Colossae needed encouragement. Now, they may have needed encouragement because they were fearful of Paul's safety. Or they may have simply needed encouragement because Paul is instructing them in the things of the Lord. Nevertheless, he's corresponding with them. Keep reading. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, that they will tell you of everything that has taken place here. Where is Paul at, by the way, when he writes the epistle to the Colossians? Anybody know where he is? Rome? Doing what? He's in prison in Rome. Now, whether he's, I have, anybody ever been to Rome and visited the Mamertine prison? You go to the, go to Rome, modern day Rome, and just off of the Roman Forum is a church, the Church of the Mamertine, and you can go down into the basement and you can see this hole, this cistern with a hole in it and a grate over it. This is supposed to be where Paul was incarcerated. Now, whether or not Paul ever actually was incarcerated in that spot, we simply don't know. But he may have simply been under house arrest in Rome. But Paul's liberty was curtailed. And so his churches were concerned to know how Paul was getting along. How did Paul get to Rome? The knucklehead. He went to Jerusalem of all places where he's arrested and hauled off to Rome for trial. He would send Tychicus back to Colossae. One of the prison epistles written while Paul was in prison to communicate Paul's well-being and to encourage them. Paul says at one point, the things that have happened to me have happened for the furtherance of the gospel. Paul was very matter of fact about his own persecution. He said, look, God, in fact, I can't remember. I'd have to go back and look at my notes whether I preached this year. But Paul actually takes four missionary journeys, and the fourth missionary journey is to Rome. God had told Paul when he was a young convert that he would bear his name before kings. Now, how do you get to kings? You normally have to be invited. And Paul appealed to Caesar, and we have every reason to believe, though the Bible doesn't tell us specifically, we have every reason to believe that when Paul went to Rome, he eventually had an audience with Caesar. And what did Paul do if he made it into Caesar's presence? The same thing he did with Agrippa. You remember what he did with Agrippa? Oh man, I can't believe how bad they're treating me. No, what Paul did was evangelize Agrippa. And to the point, Agrippa says, are you trying to convince me to be a Christian? Almost you persuaded me to be a Christian. Paul used the opportunities that he had to bear witness for Christ. And you can be sure that if he talked to Caesar, he did the same thing. He bore witness to Christ. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. Now, here's the interesting thing about it. Tychicus is not a prisoner. But Aristarchus is a prisoner. Evidently, when Paul was incarcerated, Aristarchus was one of his co-prisoners. My fellow prisoner greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. Welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice, these are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort. Epaphras, who is one of you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in the will of God, for I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from the Laodicea, and say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received from the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Tychicus and Archippus, we see them mentioned each five times in the New Testament. Now let me just quickly rehearse these. We first meet Tychicus in Acts chapter 20 verse 4, where he accompanies Paul from Greece. Then he's mentioned twice in the epistles, in the regular epistles, Colossians, which we've just read, and Ephesians. The longest discussion of Tychicus is in Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll look at that in just a moment, and then here in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 13. He's mentioned twice in the pastoral epistles. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 12, Paul sends Tychicus to Titus, another ambassadorship, another trip on Paul's behalf. And in chapter, and in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, Paul sends Tychicus back to Ephesus as Timothy's replacement. Turn with me, if you would please, just a moment to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 21. This is the longest statement about Tychicus in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 21. So that you may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister of the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. That's the same thing that he said basically in Colossians. He just says it a little more quickly. Tychicus is a Pauline messenger. And he's a messenger in particular to the church at Ephesus. Where would Paul be without faithful messengers who would tell his story? Now, our brother and sister are able to travel back from Brazil and rent a van, borrow a van from us so they can go and visit churches themselves. It's a little more convenient today. What is it, 6 or 7 hour flight down to Brazil from Minneapolis, something like that? You know, it's decidedly easier to visit churches today than it would have been in Paul's day. And so Paul sent Tychicus to do that. Now let's look at Aristarchus quickly, and we'll be finished. Aristarchus. Again, Aristarchus is mentioned 5 times in the New Testament. He's mentioned 3 times in the book of Acts. He's connected with the riot at the church at Ephesus. He's mentioned in Acts 20 verse 4, same passage where Tychicus is mentioned. And he's with Paul at the end of his journey in Rome. Remember, what is Aristarchus? What does Paul call him? My fellow prisoner. Evidently, Aristarchus pays the ultimate price for being a companion of Paul. He spends time in jail. He's a fellow prisoner. The last place he's mentioned is in Philemon's verse 24, where he's called not a prisoner, but a fellow worker. He's one of Paul's faithful colleagues. 2 individuals without whom Paul's ministry wouldn't have been as rich. Now, we've looked at 6 different individuals, plus if we count Aquila and Priscilla, that's 8. There are still any number of individuals, and depending on how we process these folks, some of these people are only mentioned 1 time in the scripture. Secundus, Sophater, Athea, a lady, Andronicus, Carpus, Nymphas, Junia, Phoebe, Urbanus. They're only mentioned 1 time. But if you look at how they're spoken of in these places, these are invaluable colleagues of the Apostle Paul. Now, there are 2 exceptions, which I didn't really want to end on a negative. One is Demas, who loved this present world. Maybe if Pastor asked me to do more, I'll look at Demas. And I'll look at the situation with Mark. And see these 2 individuals who didn't always do what they were expected. But thank the Lord for good, godly, dedicated, faithful colleagues who served with Paul, even to the point of going to jail, to prison, for the sake of the gospel. We attribute Paul as being the great missionary, but Paul didn't do his work alone. This brother's been on the field for almost 50 years. I'm sure that if we ask him to give an extended testimony about the many people over that 50 years that have helped him do the work, he could give testimony about dozens of people who have made his and his wife's ministry better because they have done their This is part of the reason why we have missionaries in. This is part of the reason why we maintain a van ministry. So we can do our part to help the work of the Lord around the world. Father, thank you for the opportunity to meditate on your word tonight. Thank you for John and Joyce and their faithful service. Bless our time together as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You going to take prayer requests?